IRIB English Radio presents Viewpoints.
Viewpoints.
With the presence of different scholars.
With the presence of different scholars. IRIB English Radio.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم السلام عليكم dear listeners you're on to IRIB English Radio and you're listening to The Viewpoints my name is Muhammad and with me in the studio I have brother Ali and Sheikh Liaqat السلام عليكم brother Ali
وعليكم السلام ورحمة الله
welcome to this program and Sheikh Liaqat السلام عليكم
السلام ورحمة الله
welcome to you as well
Thank
it's
you
a
so
pleasure
much.
To have you guys Thank both you. A very hot topic, a very important one, something that has actually made a lot of headlines even before the war. So we are talking about the importance of unity between the battlefield and diplomacy. First of all, I'd like to make ourselves closer to the meaning of this very important topic itself, and then we'll dive into the different aspects of it. Brother Ali, I'd like to ask you, can you please define for us diplomacy and battlefield and how synchronous or disunited they can be at times?
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. May Allah's peace and blessings be upon the Holy Prophet of Islam Muhammad and his beautiful progeny. Well, unity between battlefield and diplomacy actually means you are trying to synchronize two important wings of one existing entity. That is, when you're talking about the unity between these two wings, it means you want to fly high while you are flying in a sort of moderate way. So in case you, as a bird, one of your wings is damaged or actually wounded or, I don't know, paralyzed, then what happens? Then you might not be able to fly well. So it brings some good consequences at the end that gives power to the one or that entity that is afflicted in such a crisis.
That entity would be the nation of
the nation, the governance or government, whatsoever that it can be. So we want to say that first, and some axes that we can actually name and list that gives power to that entity within these axes. First and foremost is increases your bargaining power while you have actually created a strong unity between different wings of yours. Mm-hmm. So then it's your turn to say your conditions and your...
So the stronger you are in one aspect, the stronger you are in the other, automatically speaking. Did I get you correctly there?
Very true.
So if you're stronger in terms of diplomacy, then you're also stronger in terms of
definitely,
military.
Yeah.
So how can we interpret this based on what's going on right now in the present times with regards to the negotiations, the ceasefire and the war, the Ramadan war of Iran?
Yeah, exactly. In case it didn't work well in the battlefield, I mean, if you did not come with a good and strong response to what happened to you, I mean, 2 months ago, so you could not have that much bargaining power while you are going into negotiations, right? So you have to go to negotiate from a weaker angle rather than a higher hand to be in the negotiations.
But is it the case at this point in time? Yes, we understand that theoretically speaking, upper hand in one also means upper hand in the other.
Yeah.
But is that the case for... Because in the other side as well, we can claim the same. Lower hand or weakness in one aspect is also weakness in the other as well. So
Very
weakness
true.
In military also means weakness in diplomacy.
But sometimes that's completely true. But we want to say that in case they work together well, one can cover the weaknesses of the other side.
Mm-hmm.
There could be some weakness in some aspect. But when there is unity between them, no one can understand and nothing will be leaked from the weakness of the other side.
Mm-hmm.
So in case one wing actually works well and compensates for the weakness of the other wing, mm-hmm. so the flight by itself faces no issue.
Mm-hmm.
And from the other side, you will be able to manage the duplicate costs. What do we mean by this management of duplicate costs? Sometimes in the field, in the battlefield, you have some cost, but it can be compensated again the same way that, I mean, the other side covers the weaknesses of the other side. Well, you have a strong hand or a strong, let's say, presentation in the battlefield. then in case there is any weakness in diplomacy, it will be actually
covered up there. Yeah?
It will be covered up. Mm-hmm. That's true.
Sheikh Liaquat, I'd like to bring in your point of view in this matter, the importance of unity and synergy between the battlefield and diplomacy. Can you enlighten us from the perspective of Islam, Quran, and the primary sources of the deen in which the Islamic Republic of Iran is based upon, how these two aspects of the governance actually play together and how important it is for them to be united?
Okay. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Alhamdulillah, we have witnessed a beautiful page in history turning towards the side of, I would say, the Islamic Republic, and of course, in reality, towards the Islamic side. And if we look at Surah Al-Anfal, ayah number 60, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has said, and prepare against them whatever you are able of power.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, min quwwatin. That's what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, right? So min quwwa is basically the force. Over here, interpreters interpret as military force.
Mm-hmm.
But others say, no, any kind of power. I mean, quwwatin, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala just didn't say, over here, he didn't emphasize it on the military power. But of course, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also says about the war horses as well.
Okay? Mm-hmm. So you see diplomacy as also a power against the enemy, just as the military aspect is.
Yeah.
And the same way that military acts against the enemy, diplomacy should as well.
Yeah, definitely.
But however, in many cases, we see diplomacy ending up towards, you know, ceasefire as we have right now.
Mm-hmm.
Now, we're not going to go for or against it for a debate in this program, but wouldn't this be against what the military aspect of governance say? Like, we should fight against force, but all of a sudden diplomacy says, let's make peace. Let's go for a ceasefire.
Actually, both have to work hand in hand.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, it can't be like, you know, when the military forces are standing, they are having one kind of wazifa or responsibility, that is to fight.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and they're good at it. Alhamdulillah, they have protected the whole Islamic Republic of Iran in the war, and they have fought back against the enemies in a very awing manner. Like everyone were bewildered about what's happening. Like, they are good at it. Okay, and the other side, the diplomatic side, I would say. They are good in dealing with the enemies in talks, of course. Okay, so when we say, okay, now there's an end to this conflict, or the war is ending, or there's a ceasefire, there should be a deep connection. Like, of course, we don't want to know everything what's going inside, but this connection between the military forces and the diplomatic forces should be there. And alhamdulillah, we have
and
a leader.
And you do claim that it is there at this point in time.
Yeah, yeah. So example, if tomorrow they say the war has ended, or they say this ceasefire is extending for a period of like 2 weeks maybe, or 2 months, whatever it is, okay? Then the same is also said by the military forces as well. They say, okay, because the diplomatic side has said we are ending the war or we are extending the ceasefire, we respect it. If the diplomatic force, if the diplomatic side or the diplomatic forces, I would say, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala used the word quwwa, because they are also forces, okay? Because they want to, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also says, which you may terrify the enemy of Allah and your enemy. You are going to terrify the enemy of Allah by your diplomacy. Okay, so if you don't accept, we are not going to open the Strait of Hormuz.
Exactly.
That's a big blow to them, isn't it? That's a big, big blow, not just to them, but to the whole world, to the whole economy of the world, isn't
it? So both battlefield and diplomacy is in service to an entity, and we can call that entity the entity of wilaya, for example,
wilayatul
faqih.
I would
both
say
are tools.
the diplomacy side or the diplomatic force and the strategies laid by diplomacy mm-hmm. is actually the continuation of military forces. Mm-hmm. So I would say like both fulfill each other's responsibilities. Mm-hmm. The place where military force can't enter, the diplomacy will enter. The place where diplomacy can't enter, military force will.
That's a very beautiful way of putting it. Yeah. So, Brother Ali, I'd like to shift towards you now. With regards to specifically the Islamic Republic of Iran, from the inception of the revolution, we've faced lots of disputes within. Many of them were incited by the enemy. And these disputes were basically serving the objectives of the enemy, which is basically and fundamentally and even ultimately the destruction of the Islamic Republic of Iran. How do you see the enemy's role in encroaching and creating disunity amongst especially those who are in the level of making decisions for the country?
Yeah, that's a good question. Actually, this can happen, to my own understanding, in two layers, in two levels. One layer of it is the layer of society.
Mm-hmm.
So in a lower layer, I can say first.
Among the people, that is.
Among the people, I mean. I mean, to create or generate discrepancy among different generations and different classes of the society. So it can happen through these sanctions that actually show themselves in
economic sanctions.
Economic sanctions, I mean. So this smart economic sanctions that can show its effects on the society and in the daily affairs of the people. So mm-hmm. this is one.
I mean, which brings distrust.
I'm talking first about the first mm-hmm. layer of society or societal level.
And we have seen a lot of the results of such economic warfare against Iran, soft warfare, basically, in many of the times. For example, when we see the fuel prices or the prices of essential items go up, eventually people become unrest.
Very true. And I mean, it shows it creates unrest among the people and mm-hmm. actually makes them fear of what is happening.
And the origin of this is basically disunity, economic warfare that the
while
enemy
we have
has.
Seen, while we have seen that in this war, at least in the war that we are in, I mean, at least our economic side has not been active in the war by itself.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, most of this actually pressure or most of this assignment was on the border of the army side, right?
Mm-hmm.
Or the military side. So mm-hmm. it was not on economical powers that we had. So why should we face, I mean, with such, let's say, inflation in the society? So mm-hmm. this is one. Exactly. I'm emphasizing that I'm talking about the first layer in the societal level. Second, they create different narratives of the warfare. And these narratives that actually creates rumors among the people
mm-hmm.
on what is happening. I mean, to show a sort of difference and discrepancy among what? Among the men of battlefield and men of diplomacy,
mm-hmm.
right? So people are becoming shocked and actually confused that which narrative is true. They don't let us, I mean, to think well. I mean, they don't let you to think properly.
You mean exactly the enemy,
I mean, the
right?
enemy, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So this is a technique, a strategy actually being implemented by the enemy.
But how well have the men of power and men of policy played with this tactic of the enemy?
All due respect, actually, I have my own actually criticism, a very soft criticism on our brothers in the field of battlefield and diplomacy. To find what the danger is and mm-hmm. to work on it a little bit and to compensate for what the enemy actually is creating. I mean, you have a role to talk to people, I mean, in a good way, the same way that we had it. I mean, among the first 30 days of the war, that mm-hmm. they came and talked to the people very easily and very smoothly, and the people understood what is going on. But sometimes these gaps between people and statesmen actually create some. I mean, it strengthens these narratives, these false narratives,
mm-hmm.
because people will be confused that okay, which narrative is true? The one that enemy is actually generating, or the ones that we have? I mean,
but
here we find a sort of a lack of narrative.
Ahsantum, Sheikh Liaqat, and brother Ali, for your important points in this topic so far. Thank you very much, our dear listeners, for listening to us. It's been a great time. We have had lots of important discussions, and we hope that we will be able to continue such important topics and cover them in the best of manner as possible. Thank you very much. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
شفعة أنا لها أنا.